Good morning, everyone. My name is Marta Coma. I am a PhD student at the University of Florida under Dr. Lynn Sullenberger, and today I'd like to talk about how ligand proportions in mixed species swords affects litter decomposition and nutrient release rates. Around one-third of the area of the southeast of the United States is covered with pasture lands, which have around 12.8 million heads of beef cattle. The majority of the nutrients made available for these animals comes from nitrogen-fertilized perennial grass pastures, which imposes a couple of challenges. From the ecosystem standpoint, nitrogen fertilizers are the farm input that has the greatest associated carbon footprint. From the producer standpoint, there is a high cost of nitrogen fertilization, which limits its use in low-input grazing systems, which is the majority in the southeast. As a consequence of this high price of nitrogen fertilizer, often the requirements for nitrogen fertilization are not met in grasslands, and as a consequence of that, there may be pasture degradation. According to Jensen and collaborators, the most likely alternative for the use of nitrogen fertilizer in grasslands is the use of legumes, which even at a small percentage in grasslands can enhance the plant nitrogen status, increase forage nutritive value with a consequence in increase of animal performance, and also reduce or even eliminate the need of nitrogen fertilization. The reason why we focus so much in the use of resomapinid in the southeast is that this is the only long-leaf perennial legume adapted to grow in the Gulf Coast region when pasture is older than 30 years old. The cost of establishment of resomapinid is pretty high, and because of that, most of resomapinid in this region is grown as a pure stand and used for hay, which is more profitable. However, some recent studies have identified more economical establishment options for the inclusion of legumes into existing grasslands. Now, we know that the inclusion of legumes in grasslands will increase the quality of the litter in these areas. So from the ecosystem standpoint, we're interested in understanding more the grassland litter dynamics, because we know that high quality litter will contribute to a greater amount of soil organic carbon when compared to more recalcitrant materials, and also the carbon from this material will be more stable. From the producer standpoint, we know that the decomposition of legume litter will increase the nitrogen cycling in the grasslands so that we may achieve the nitrogen requirements in these areas and reduce the risk of degradation. So this will contribute to the greater sustainability of the system. So this study that I'm presenting today is part of a greater research effort where we're trying not only to identify, but we also want to quantify the ecosystem services that are coming from mixed grass legume areas when compared to the grass pastures alone. So the objectives of this study were to quantify the effects of legume proportion on litter decomposition rate and nutrient disappearance. So in other words, what we wanted to know is how much legume do we need to see an effect on the decomposition of litter and nutrient disappearance. And we also wanted to use carbon isotope fractionation in order to identify what was the greatest source of carbon in these mixed swords. In other words, which one of these species would be decomposed faster. In order to answer these questions, we delineated a decomposition study where we had four treatments, 100% bahia grass, one-third resomapinid and two-thirds bahia grass, two-thirds resomapinid, one-third bahia grass, and one treatment with 100% of resomapinid. For the bahia grass, what we did was we collected bahia grass to ground level, and we separated the leaf blade at the ligule. And for resomapinid, we eliminated the top 5 centimeters of the canopy, and we used the leaflets. This experiment was designed in a randomized complete block design with 6 replicates. We used 6 incubation times between 4 and 128 days and 12 grams of material per bag. The area where that we did the incubation study was a pure bahia grass stand, and prior to the incubation, we clipped the area to around 15 centimeters, and we put the bags, we deposited them on the surface of the soil, and we covered them lightly with the existing litter of the area. After collection, the bags were dried at 60 degrees Celsius and ground to pass through a 1 millimeter sieve and analyzed for carbon, nitrogen, and for carbon isotope fractionation. We used different models to fit for biomass and nutrient disappearance, and we analyzed the data using a linear mixed effect model where incubation time and litter composition were fixed and block was random. And we considered significant everything that we had p-value smaller or equal to 0.05. So let's take a look at what we found. The first thing that I would like to show is this table where we have analytical data for the different materials that we incubated. So the first thing that we notice here is that the nitrogen concentration was a lot greater for Rhizoma peanut when compared to the numbers in Bahia grass. And this was also reflected in the mixtures where Rhizoma peanut was present. Now, when we're looking at litter decomposition, one of the things that we want to look at also is the carbon to nitrogen ratio. And the greater concentration of nitrogen in the materials that had Rhizoma peanut was also reflected on the C2N ratio, where we see smaller values of C2N in the treatments where we had Rhizoma peanut. Okay, so most of the graphs that I'll be showing here today follow this same logic. So on the x-axis, what we have is days of incubation, and on the y-axis, we have remaining of one of the response variables that I measured. So in this case, I'm showing remaining biomass as a percentage of what we had at the beginning of the incubation period. The green line represents Bahia grass, the yellow line is Rhizoma peanut, and the mixtures are in red and blue. So the first thing that we can see here is that the effect of Rhizoma peanut on the decomposition of these materials was only observed at the very end of the incubation period, where there was more Bahia grass remaining when compared to pure Rhizoma peanut or Rhizoma peanut mixtures. At the end of the incubation period, we found that around 46% of Bahia grass was remaining, which is within the range that has been published by other authors before, such as Dubé and collaborators in 2006. Now, for Rhizoma peanut, there was less biomass remaining, around 35%, and that was also observed in the mixtures, with no difference between pure Rhizoma peanut and mixtures with Rhizoma peanut. Okay, so this graph looks a little bit different. As I mentioned at the beginning of this presentation, one of the objectives that we had was to identify which one of the species was being decomposed faster in mixtures. So what we have here on the x-axis is days of incubation, and on the y-axis is percentage of Rhizoma peanut. So this black line in each one of the graphs represents what we had at the beginning of the incubation period. And what we can see is that for both of these mixtures, the proportion of Rhizoma peanut was pretty constant up to day 16. And after that, there was less Rhizoma peanut in the incubated material, meaning that Rhizoma peanut was decomposed, was more decomposed when compared to the Bahia grass material. So taking a closer look at what is happening to the Rhizoma peanut, this graph is showing the remaining biomass only of Rhizoma peanut in each one of the treatments that contain that material. And what we saw was a linear effect in the disappearance of Rhizoma peanut as the amount of Bahia grass increased in the mix. So the pure Rhizoma peanut material and the Rhizoma peanut mix containing the greatest amount of Rhizoma peanut had a smaller decomposition of that material. So this suggests that there is a synergic effect of the mixture of grasses and legumes in the composition, and this has been observed by other authors, such as Hossein Sujiyama in 2011, that found that there is a further decomposition the more mix of species you find when studying litter decomposition. This graph is showing the remaining nitrogen in Bahia grass and Rhizoma peanut as a function of the incubation time, and we found a significant effect of days of incubation in interaction with the litter composition. So the first thing that you notice here is that the Bahia grass material was there is less nitrogen remaining at the end of the period, and the release of this material is slower when compared to the pure rhizom�ponin. And when we look at the mixtures, at the beginning, the mixtures have a greatest release of nitrogen to the environment, and they pair up with the pure rhizom︂ponin at the end of the incubation period. So basically what we see is that the mineralization starts earlier for the mixtures, around 5 days, followed by the pure rhizom︂ponin material and the pure bahia grass. And not only the mineralization happens at different times, but the amount of nitrogen remaining at the end of the period is also different for the different treatments, where there is more nitrogen remaining or less nitrogen being released to the environment in the bahia grass treatment, and no difference between the pure rhizomððand the mixtures that had around 40-something percent of material remaining, of nitrogen remaining. One of the reasons for that could be the carbon-to-nitrogen ratio. As I showed in the beginning, the C2N ratio was smaller for the material containing peanut, and that can definitely be one of the reasons why the amount of nitrogen released to the environment was greater for the materials that contain peanut. So as a summary of what we found so far, rhizomððand rhizomððbahia grass litter materials had a greater extent and of the composition than bahia grass litter alone. And if rhizomððwas present, the amount of rhizomððdid not affect the extent of litter mass decomposition. The isotope analysis showed that rhizomððproportion in residual litter was less than in the initial litter across the incubation period. The decomposition for rhizomððlitter mass was greater for mixtures than pure legumes, again emphasizing the synergic effect that that can have. Nitrogen mineralization started sooner for mixtures compared to rhizomððalone and bahia grass, and the extent of nitrogen mineralization was much greater for litter that included rhizomధ compared to the bahia grass only. The implications of this study are that a synergy was observed with mixtures of bahia grass and rhizomððlitter. So we can say that extrapolating the behavior of decomposition from pure stands to non-measured mixtures can be flawed. Rhizomధ proportion as small as 1/3 of the mass maximized the extent of biomass decomposition and percentage of nitrogen mineralization. So that supports other literature that shows that even a relatively small amount of legume percentage can have a big impact on grass and nitrogen dynamics. And finally, this proportion of rhizomధ is readily achieved in production, supporting efforts to increase the proportion of mixed pastures in regional forage livestock systems. Thank you for your attention. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have. Yes.
Why did the remaining in the early days of incubation go up above 100%?
So the question is why the remaining nitrogen goes a little bit up above 100%. So I think probably just a little bit of variability, and also sometimes during the composition there is an increase in concentration of nitrogen. So and the remaining nitrogen is a function of the concentration and remaining biomass. So that could be one of the explanations for that. Yes.
Were these litter bags put back onto straight bahia grass, or was this at the same site that they were collected from? In other words, different levels of rhizomధ.
The question is the place of incubation, if it was pure bahia grass or if it was mixtures that represented what was in the bag. No, it was a pure bahia grass then, but we are currently running another experiment where we are incubating material and putting them on areas with the same proportion that we have in the bag. So probably next year I'll have some information on that.
All right, let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.